It would be fun.
Sounds like a lot of fun. Make sure I get a map, okay? All right, Bob, we'll talk to you later.
We'll hand you a jug on the front porch, Bob.
All right, we've got it. It's got the corn cob in the top.
Good night, buddy.
Later now.
Love you much.
Bob.
Bye now. And let's see. Let's go to Nanette. Nanette is with us. Hey, Nanette, welcome to the program. Welcome to the porch.
God, Bob. You got a bigger Valley Girl than the Valley Girls do.
I'm ashamed. I'm so ashamed.
That was so cute. I swear.
Oh, God.
But I can't believe the ignorance of people.
But would it be? But Nanette, if you called the newsroom in Charleston at 10 o'clock, wouldn't you get the same person?
More likely, yeah. More than likely, yeah.
You know, I don't know anything.
I found in my travels, because you know I drive between San Francisco and Texas, that the TV stations in between. Well, including the ones in Texas, there's not a brain in the room.
Yeah.
All they do is read. They at least learn how to read words. But
mm-hmm.
you know, and deliver them in whatever that tone is that they use.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I don't think they think. Whereas I do know that some of the people here in San Francisco actually do think, because they get on and they talk about things, and the ones who are on regular news also go on our local PBS end of the week thing and start talking and they discuss things, and it's never canned, and it's of course being in this area, it's
mm-hmm.
also not right wing, you know, so
mm-hmm.
so it's not garbage. It's usually generally well thought out ideas,
well,
and you know. But trying to solve problems of the area, mostly.
Nanette, did you have anything in particular on your mind this evening when you came to the porch?
Well, it was just the fact that they don't know how their judges get in office. It just floors me. You know?
Yeah, I do. It's pathetic. And the thing is, it's not the TV aspect of it. It's also there's an educational aspect of it.
That's what I'm talking about. We need civics.
Precisely.
But we need to teach the young, well, these people are past being taught now, but the young people today need to be taught. I had civics in the ninth grade.
Mm-hmm. That's what
that year of it.
Yeah, that's when I had it too.
Yeah, and I doubt seriously. I know that my daughter didn't have civics in high school. I don't know when they quit teaching it.
Our eldest daughter didn't either.
Well, my daughter's quite a bit older than yours.
True, but I mean that...
Mine are older than yours, but they didn't have it.
I mean,
but they know. They actually know because my husband and I taught them.
that's the truth. It has to come from mom and dad most of the time because they're not learning it.
They're not learning it
in the system. Huh?
Just like sex education. You can't get that, you know.
And you know what? Those two things have something in common, don't they? Those are two subjects that right-wingers do not want young people to know anything about, sex
mm-hmm.
yeah.
or how their government works.
Right.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't know how everything works, and I have forgotten a lot. But still, I know how the judges are elected, and I know how all the officials are elected, you know. And, I mean, I bet you there's a lot of people out there that don't even know who their judge is, who
probably.
Their representatives are.
Well, we probably don't know because we don't usually have any exposure to the judicial system, especially at the municipal, municipal level.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, out here we don't because we're, you know, there's too many of us.
You can bet your elected.
I would imagine where you are, Bob, is different. You would know your judges, wouldn't you?
Well, sure, but the same thing goes with Nanette because we're both involved. In a movement where you kind of have to know who's in the seats of power, because then you know who's trying to put the wood to you.
Yeah.
And in the case of West Virginia, whether it was the mine wars 100 years ago or coming up very near into the future, the issues have risen and fallen from the bench. Way back when coal miners would try to stand up on their hind legs and demand that they be treated like human beings, it was the court that would issue an injunction demanding that they go back to work.
My husband worked during a lot of that time. There were many injunctions against his local.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And now, with the mountaintop removal issues, we're seeing a little bit of a sea change, because the one place where West Virginians are getting a little bit of help is from the bench and the federal bench.
Wow.
So
that's unusual.
It pays in the with regard to this stuff. It pays. You kind of have to know who these people are. But for the average Joe, probably, unless it's a very small county, probably doesn't know who his circuit judge is, or hers.
Mm-hmm.
Probably doesn't know who the magistrates are, and frankly, probably couldn't name all their local delegation of members of the state legislature. I don't even know if I could at this point. But the thing is, when you call a place that bills itself as a disseminator of information,
yeah. Well, they're not. I mean, we know that. We've known that for quite a while now.
All too true.
Yeah. I don't know. I turned off. Our Channel 2 went to Fox back in 2000, and they were rude to Pete Stark on the TV, and I sent an email and said, I'm not watching you anymore because you were rude to him, and all you want us to do is listen to Fox ideas and not Pete's ideas when you bring him on. And so I haven't watched, and I haven't watched any other news either, except, of course, for Daily Show. And now I watch Olbermann when he's on, but not if those chickies are on, because they're just as bad as the ones at the TV station. I cannot believe that.
I'll tell you what, let's bring one more person up onto the porch here. Susan's with us calling from Oregon.
Excellent.
I think,
Susan?
You there, Susan?
Hi, yeah.
Hi, Susan. I've been wanting to talk to you. Super, hooray.
So, well, I just got an answer. I got an answer to my little email that I sent to Asheville, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Was it a humorless man in a dark suit with a skinny tie on your front porch?
No, not quite. I put it up on the blog. It is an incredibly... well, I can't do a southern voice like you can, Bob. You're going to have to go read it, but it's...
I'm going there now. Is it on the main page?
Yeah, it's up on the main page.
So, and just to remind people, you wrote in regard to the two people who got rousted for holding up an impeach Bush Cheney sign, right?
Right.
You tell them, Donald. I heard that.
It's listed as an answer from Asheville, North Carolina.
Okay, our page loads very slowly these days for some reason or another.
And it starts out, it says, it's sad that anything that shows up in print on the blog is immediately given credence of being absolutely true in the minds of many people. In other words, we're weak-minded.
We're liars. What are they trying to say?
We're liars, yes. And he goes on in that routine. Plus, he included a press release, which was in itself hysterically funny, because it didn't include any of... it was strictly one-sided.
Oh, okay, yeah. The Asheville Police Department is a professional, well-trained, and accredited agency that is committed to protecting individuals' constitutional rights. Our department has assisted with untold rallies and protests to protect citizens' opportunity for free speech while maintaining the safety of all individuals present. The press release attached below describes the facts surrounding this case. Expressing one's opinions must be done in a manner that does not infringe upon the rights and safety of others. In this case, the actions of Mr. Phillips was impeding the flow. Actions was. Subject-verb agreement we were talking about ninth grade a minute ago. The actions of Mr. Phillips was impeding the flow of traffic and endangering motorists by holding a sign over Interstate 240 during rush hour traffic, which could have caused a serious traffic crash. A traffic could have crashed.
Yeah.
You got that?
Yeah.
It is unfortunate this event and the motives of the officers have been misconstrued to represent any act by the Asheville Police Department to deprive some of their constitutional rights.
He even included his phone number, which I very, very nicely posted.
Yes, it is there. It is there. You can. It says, contact Police Chief Bill Hogan. Well, okay, Bill.
Right. And even his email.
Yeah.
For his name. Wow.
Yeah, I figured, well, hey, if he's going to throw that in an email, I'll, by God, put it up.
Sure.
What got me, besides the obvious lack of education, obviously they had spent too much time beating up queers in the bathroom to pay attention to the English teacher, I kept thinking, you know, they were talking about holding a sign over the freeway
mm-hmm.
that people were seeing. You ever heard of the word billboard?
Well, there is that, isn't
I
there?
I was thinking of that myself.
Well, it turns out what they're charging him with violating is that it shall be unlawful for any person singly or in a group to obstruct or cause to be obstructed vehicular or pedestrian traffic on the streets or sidewalks or in parks or other public areas within the corporate limits of the city.
Well, one thing I have to ask is how big was that darn sign? Did it would hang down and impede traffic on the lower lanes? That's silly.
Yeah, well, and see, the thing is, there's no attempt language in here, as in attempt to obstruct, or attempt to cause to obstruct, because they didn't prove any obstruction. The only obstruction of traffic came when they blew up there with their two big old gas-guzzling cruisers.
Yeah.
That's when traffic was obstructed. Shall we charge Officer Crisp and Sergeant Randy Riddle?
I can say something, but I won't.
Oh, this is a fun little follow-up. Well, gang, I tell you what, I've enjoyed our first bit of time on the front porch. We've got to go to the news, so maybe we'll get a new crowd up next hour.
Okay.
You have a nice weekend, Bob.
Thanks, Susan, Suzanne, Nanette.
Nice
thank you so
you.
Much. I enjoyed it.
Well, I enjoyed the Valley Girl.
Valley Girl was classic.
We'll bring her back sometime.
Yeah. Well, I'll let y'all go then.
All right. Bye now.
Have a good evening.
Later.
Bye-bye.
All right. I love it. I love it when the front porch works out. This is very nice. And I'm the voice Valley Girl might be good, but trust me, I don't have the legs for it. It is sad that anything that shows up in print on the blog is immediately given credence of being absolutely true in the minds of many people. There are two sides to this issue, and you can rest assured that the police officers had no political motive for taking the action they did. They simply responded to an ongoing complaint from other citizens about someone impeding traffic. Well, who do you suppose dropped the dime on that? Now, see, if Mr. Phillips has competent counsel, he will go ahead and, you know, and not let the local DA drop this case. Or, you know, if they want to go forward with it, he'll do discovery and he'll drop the dime and he'll find out who that person was. Because if you remember the news story, it was the same person calling four times. Yeah. Wouldn't it be fun to find out who that little right winger was? Wonder if it was Sergeant Randy Riddle. Can't help but wonder, can you? All right, news time. We'll come back. This is the front porch. Oh, you just had to play that, didn't you? This is the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is the Quality News Network. The Dow rallied, ending up in the triple digits. We'll have the final numbers coming up in our business segment. Market experts say investors got bullish after President Bush addressed the mortgage default crisis by introducing a series of ways to help homeowners refinance into government-insured mortgages. However, the president rejected a government bailout of lenders, saying, quote, "The government's got a role to play, but it is limited." President Bush later met with the Joint Chiefs of Staff to hear about military concerns over lengthy and repeated tours of duty in Iraq. In Iraq, a military cargo plane with three senators and a House member aboard had to conduct evasive maneuvers last night as it was taking off to avoid ground fire. Two Egyptian students at the University of South Florida faced charges of carrying explosive materials across state lines. Officials say they found pipe bomb materials in their car earlier this month. One of the students is also charged with terrorism for allegedly teaching others how to make bombs. Republican Idaho Senator Larry Craig may give his resignation tomorrow, according to his spokesperson. Craig has had increasing pressure on him to quit from fellow Republicans following his arrest in an airport bathroom. President Bush announced that Press Secretary Tony Snow will leave his job on September 14th. Dana Perino will take over. Snow said the reason he's leaving is that he needs to earn more money for his family. He denied that his battle with cancer was the issue. Snow's press secretary pay is $168,000 a year. White House advisor Karl Rove finished his last day on the job. Colleagues paid tribute to him this morning in a closed-door meeting. Republican Senator John Warner of Virginia announced he will retire. If he had run for re-election in 2008, it would have been a sixth term for him in the Senate. The fugitive Democratic fundraiser Norman Sue, who contributed to Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton, among others, has turned himself in to California authorities. Sue skipped out on his 1991 sentencing for grand theft. The judge ordered him held on $2 million bond until his hearing next Wednesday. And Forbes magazine lists a list of the world's 100 most powerful women has German Chancellor Angela Merkel topping the list. This is QNN.
You know you can depend on QNN for honest news. Now we want you to know about an honest source of information on one of the country's most desirable vacation destinations, Carmel by the Sea on California's beautiful Central Coast. That source is the best address in Carmel, carmel.com. Just a few simple clicks and you're visiting a website that mirrors all that Carmel stands for: quality, character, tradition, beauty, the great outdoors by the sea, cultural heritage, and the best shopping, charming inns, superb dining, world-class art, music, and theater, a cornucopia of delights. So when you're planning your next getaway, go to the best address in Carmel, carmel.com, for tips on everything Carmel. Then put that information to good use by visiting Carmel by the Sea for an unforgettable getaway, carmel.com.
A massive ice island that broke free from the Canadian coast 2 years ago has drifted south into a channel and is now stuck. Scientists say the new resting spot of the Manhattan-sized island may be the best place for it because there had been concerns it could drift into Alaskan oil and gas installations. A federal appeals court in California ruled today that the U.S. Navy can continue to use high-power sonar during training exercises. A three-judge panel ruled that national security interests outweigh the possible harm to marine mammals. Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke said that the U.S. Central Bank is vigilant and is prepared to act as needed to prevent the global financial markets from causing turmoil in the U.S. economy. The Bush administration says opponents of a pilot trucking program with Mexico cannot prove the program will actually harm them. Environmentalists and Teamsters had asked a federal court to issue an emergency stay blocking the plan because it allows Mexican trucks to operate in the U.S. and vice versa. Gold is currently trading at $681.90 an ounce. Light sweet crude oil is trading at $74.04 a barrel. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow was up 119 points at 13,357. The NASDAQ was up 31. The S&P was up 16. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Laurel Krissen.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
All righty then, 7.5 minutes past the hour. That was fun. Oh, quick update for you on the Don't Eat It This Labor Day Weekend list. You know what? You can't eat this Labor Day weekend That menu's becoming longer than the possible goodies. Just to let you know, before we go back to the phones, there's another little warning out, and it may this is kind of serious because it's a pretty big chain. Headline. God, Kroger recalls potato salad on E. coli worries. The grocery chain says its store brand Southern Style or mustard potato salads with a best if used by date of September 5th could be contaminated with E. coli. Now let's review, because you all probably know it by now. E. coli can only get into food when the food has been in contact with feces. Yuck. Kroger Company said today the grocery chain is recalling its store brand Southern Style and mustard potato salads. You know, I resent potato salad that is being billed as Southern Style as having been exposed to feces. You know, Mama never added a... Never mind, I can't go. I can't do it. Oh, let's go to the phones. David's calling from Tennessee. Now, what did Mama put in her potato salad when you were growing up, David?
Well, it was definitely never a number two. I can guarantee you that for sure.
Where's Fido?
She never went over to that contaminated punch bowl looking for a floater.
Jesus, God.
And I can guarantee you Mama washed them hands with that big bar of ivory. Or probably, no, in the kitchen, Mama would have had a big-ass bar of octagon that you wash too many times with it and you'll see red.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
It'll be flesh. It won't be skin there.
God,
no microbes.
The first time I ever said one of the magic words, I tasted octagon soap.
Not very good, as I recall.
Woo! I'm still tasting it.
Oh, yes. There's that certain language that's, Lee David, those words are for your father. Open your mouth, you little brat. So, yeah, well, certain memories are triggered.
Oh.
Got it. Let me help you with this newsroom acumen IQ helpful staff situation.
Okay.
How much of a brain does it take for a person, male or female, to scribble something for a FedEx driver and accept a package, pick up something off a fax machine, or hit the print icon as he or she, in your case, she, two of them, is reading the email? And whether it be James Dobson, whether it be the RNC, whether it be a government agency masquerading as a freelance news service, since there are no more reporters leaving the building, all you got to have is little Melissa Four Brains just print that email, pick up that fax, or rip open that FedEx package, and I've got the news ready to take over to Eric so Eric can read it.
Biff.
Makes sense?
I'm Biff Stonehead. This is the news.
I've got this thing in my ear to tell me what I ought to know.
Oh,
but
my
seriously.
God. No, I know.
Reporters?
Thank you very much. Good night. Edward R. Murrow has left the building.
Boy, has he ever. Now, they do have a few of them, and they're usually in their 20s, and they're usually out there to do the kids with ice cream, you know, oh, grandmother's looking at tree wraps, whatever, you know, fine. But that's got nothing to do with life and death matters and big stuff like...
Mrs. Eunice,
you know,
Whistlestop called the police today when her cat went up a tree and wouldn't come down.
Exactly. So, no, it does not take a lot of brains to be part of a news organization when all you've got to do is unload the fax machine and drop it on the right desk and hope the RNC or some governmental agency that doesn't want you to know they're the government puts too big a word in for the newsreader.
Yeah, the something like Ahmadinejad.
Oh, yeah, you can just see the little silvery things, those little pinpoints just pop right out on the forehead from those wonderful foreign words.
Mr. The president of Iran said today.
Oh yeah,
dude,
we're in some smaller markets. The president of Iran. Anyway,
I've been there. I mean, I worked. I worked really hard. I was proud of the fact that I could try to do justice to a human being's name, because you know that it's not like George Carlin said, where it's, you know, you be my name and I'll be me. We are. And when you mangle somebody's name, you're mangling somebody in a sort of spiritual, psychic way.
It's an intensely Southern thing, and you're exactly right. The old phrase from a long way back was, you know, I'm gonna make sure I bother him. I'm gonna call him outside his name.
Yep.
And that, yeah, you know that, you know what I'm talking about.
I sure do. So there's no, to say that this is journal, it's not. Because, see, that's the thing. These kids, I feel like, I don't know, she may have been 50 for all I know, these women I was talking to last night. And it's not about the gender.
No. They won't let anybody that age, because they would have had to give that person a few raises along the way. That's the other side of that coin. That's why they want 24-year-olds in that situation.
But the problem here, I think, if I'm isolating it correctly, is that these kids have been to journalism school. They haven't studied English. God knows they haven't studied political science. They've studied journalism. It's kind of like getting an education degree. I don't want someone with an education degree teaching English to my children. I want someone with an English degree teaching English to my children. I feel the same way about physics.
Well, and, you know, for all we know, Liberty University has a big-ass school of journalism.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
Oh, don't you know it?
And they've got perky fundamentalist the people, and perky can be male or female, who are sitting around learning how to read what they're told to read, not to think about what they're told to read,
and only read what strikes them as what was given to them as truth. I go back, and I've done it once before on your show. I go back to that wonderful movie Planet of the Apes. The Ministry of Truth and the Ministry of, what was it? They melded two things together. Oh, the Ministry of Science and the Ministry of Truth were the same thing. So what if science discovers something that doesn't jibe with what we're calling truth now? Truth trumps. So it's the same, that's the fundy way. You know, we've got it all figured out, and anything that tells us we don't have it figured out, that's heretic, or it's liberal, or it's wrong, or it's something we're not going to trouble ourselves with. Don't confuse me with facts. I'm saved and my mind's made up.
God said it, I believe it, that settles it.
Well, speaking of unjournalism, are you a little disappointed we're not going to have Tony Snowjob to kick around in another couple of weeks?
You know, I hope he spends his last days in happiness with his family. I hope he can get away from the cesspool that is that White House. I hope he can get away from American politics. I hope he can go out into the desert with nothing but a loincloth and a knife and just stay there for 2 weeks and repent for all the evil that he has done before he shuffles off this mortal coil, because he's on his way out, David.
I fear he is. I mean, there's all this encouraging talk about he's going to fight it, he's going to beat it, no, cancer has nothing to do with this. That's as big a lie as he has ever foisted off onto us regarding Bush White House policy. I'm sorry.
He's gray, David.
I know. I've got a background in photography. I look at that guy on TV, and it's, my God, they're putting the makeup on that man with a trowel.
Well, I looked at him, a couple of video clips of him. And I went one step further. They're using the mortician's wax now.
As I said, it's thick, and it's very apparent. And I jokingly said to you one night off the air, are they just going to keep trotting him out there for the mercy factor until he's got his left arm tucked under his right arm because it fell off as he was walking to the podium? And all of his clothes are hanging on him, and even though he's struggling by on 168 large a year, I'm sorry, the man ought to go buy a couple of suits that fit.
Well, the one time when a Bush administration official should put out the statement that says, I am resigning to spend more time with my family. They can't even tell the truth about they don't, what am I trying to get out of my brain, David? They can't tell the truth about even mundane things for which the truth would do them no harm. The man should be quitting to spend more time with his family, because the one thing he ain't got any more of is time. But instead they have to trot out that he's too broke at 168 large a year, and that he's run through his savings.
Well, you've got a family of three. How could you do on 168 large a year after taxes?
After taxes, I could do pretty damn good at 60 large a year. At 50. 40 would thrill me senseless.
Precisely. So, I don't know. Maybe he's got three kids, and they're 15, 16, and 17, and they're all headed for Harvard. And he thinks that's the only place. I don't know what that's all about, but no. The one thing I heard today, late in the day, he said that his intent was to write a book. So I think what's going to happen is he's going to use what time he has left to cash $1 million or $2 million check as an advance from HarperCollins or whoever else, or Fox. Fox owns publishing. You think maybe Rupert would whack him a check out for about $2-3 million? For his memoirs for the last 18 months and not worry about it?
And not yet.
He's been a good soldier. Let's make sure his family doesn't worry.
Yeah, but see, Rupert is such a sleazy bastard that I don't think he does mercy checks. But you know what? I saw that same thing about writing a book. You know what first came to my mind was Ulysses Grant. I know it seems an odd comparison, but there was Ulysses Grant, who was surrounded by graft and greed and corruption. And his last days, there are photographs, they're tragic photographs of him. Here's the hero of Appomattox, a man who did the calculus to figure out how to win the wilderness and the 7 days, who took the greatest military minds America had to offer and drove them to their knees. And there are photographs of Ulysses Grant sitting in a rocking chair on a front porch, turned gray, with pince-nez glasses over his nose, a blanket on his lap, and furiously writing away, trying to complete his memoirs so that he would not leave his wife a pauper. And one man came forward, and when his memoirs came out, they were the biggest selling book probably of the decade. And they sold by subscriptions, and they sold off the shelf. One man made that happen, and his name was Samuel Langhorne Clemens, who had had Southern sympathies during that time. And I don't know why, but that's who I thought of when I thought about when I saw the word that Tony might pen a book. And it's pathetic in both instances, because in both instances, they are men who will have to spend their last days reliving horror.
Because, to be sure.
Yeah. Sorry, didn't mean to bring it down a notch like that.
No, I was hearing what you said, and I was being thoughtful, because, you know, as a living human being, I want Mr. Snow to only experience the mental anguish that he has created in my mind for himself, his psyche, his spirit, his soul, if that's a valid way to think of it, by continuing to fool people into propping up an unelected president that has ruination of this country as his primary goal. And how he has made it, how he has lubed the concept of bombing Iran such that America might swallow it. He has smoothed it up enough such that it might go in. And that just disgusts me. But dying that way at that point in his life, no. I'd rather see Tony Snow live another 25 years so he could see the true ugliness of what he has helped create manifest itself and what it took to fix it. Not that he would ever let it connect with him.
Oh, there's the thought for the evening. David, I tell you what, let's do a little front porch work here and bring Kate on.
Wonderful.
And Gene as well.
Hello.
Hey, Kate.
Hey.
Hey, Gene.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, how's it going?
All the way to the Great Northwest and the desert.
Yes, Agnes sent me out to the front porch to smoke before I ranted. I just wanted to defend. Well, actually, no, I'm feeling guilty. In defense of the kids in the newsroom, I don't have a TV, but I assume I understand what you're talking about. I'm not sure when it was, but we took civics out of school in the 60s or 70s or 80s or something when, you know, those socialist communists were teaching government and communist ideas and stuff, and so they started changing the textbooks, is what I understand, because we learned everything. I mean, we learned anybody who's over 60 knows how the bills go through committee and into the chutes and how the judges get elected or not, or, you know, we know that stuff. And I was out marching for feminism and radical politics and stuff in the 70s, and that stuff all kind of slipped by me, and now I'm looking around saying, what happened? Well, we took education out of the schools, and people like me let it happen because I wasn't paying attention, and so I feel like I need to stand up for the kids in the newsroom because we threw them into a viper pit where they didn't learn anything, and now we make fun of them because they're challenged.
But I'm not making fun of them because they're challenged.
This isn't accusatory, okay?
No. But I mean, this is about the education they did get, not the education they didn't.
They didn't get an education.
These are journalism students. Okay.
What good J school did a kid from on the TV set in Des Moines, Iowa go to? Come on.
Well, you know, it ain't that far down to Columbia, Missouri. They got a pretty good one.
I know they do.
Harvard on the Mon here in West Virginia has an excellent J school. They're all over the country. It's not the school, it's the J.
Don't swear, okay? This is public radio. It's the people who own the radio stations who have to put these sex symbols out in front of people to sell cars and news and everything else that they do in commercial advertising, and they're exploiting the young woman with the blonde, with the big hair and the short skirt and the little red blazer and the high heels, the spiky high heels. I mean, we put them out there and exploit them and then make fun of them because they talk funny. You know, and another thing, my phone is probably going to hang up on me, and that'll be, everybody will go, oh, thank God her phone doesn't work. The other thing, if you need pronunciation and elocution lessons and articulation lessons from Kathy Bay, because she does a Valley Girl that just kicks your butt.
Well, I'm down one Y chromosome here. Cut me some slack.
It's okay. You're a good drama student. You learn. You can learn.
But I did have civics, oddly enough, and that would be 1978, 77? Yeah.
Oh, my God. That school was way behind the times.
They were
still teaching civics?
Yeah, it died out somewhat shortly thereafter, at least in my little corner of Alabama.
We're talking Reagan years then.
Yeah, that's when it happened.
They started taking the textbooks are all produced in Texas, and how so goes Texas, so goes the education, and what Texas doesn't want, they experiment with whatever they can take out or put in and how much they can get away with, and so far they've done a real good job of taking education out of the classroom. So, you know, what do we expect from the kids today? Or kids and anybody under 50, what do we expect? They haven't learned anything.
Yeah, what was the old saying, never trust anybody over 30? Wasn't that your generation that came up with that?
I don't know. I didn't. Probably, yeah.
now it's don't trust anybody under 50?
Well, in terms of education, yeah. Or don't trust anybody who's a Republican. I don't know. Anyhow, that was just my rant. I wanted to get that in because I just wanted to point out to folks that you can't blame these kids, and certainly you can't blame the girls because they're exploited and they think they're doing good. And
well,
they
may I put something in now?
Please.
Please do. We share stories. Remember, I edited the appendices on your on your storybook. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. I didn't even know that. Anyway, if that young person making a foolish presentation of themselves acts out of ignorance, and they are never told face to face they are making a fool of themselves and they are acting in ignorance and they are a tool, they are a stooge, they're going to continue it that much longer. Part of the process is to make sure that that underinformed, taken advantage of little tool has to face up to the fact that he or she is part of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So as much as I am willing to do that, I mean, if I see that woman beside the interstate, I'll help her change the tire. But as, in terms of saying, you're doing a fine job and only writing her boss a letter, I'm going to let her know, too, that she's mm-hmm. being taken advantage of and she's foolish. And mm-hmm. I want to stand up for the state of Iowa, a place I know a little bit about. Anytime you see a lift, I'm sorry?
Me too. Go ahead.
Anytime you see a list of very cost-effectively priced, affordable, superior liberal arts education, no further down than 20th for the whole nation will be Grinnell College in Grinnell, Iowa.
Yeah.
So there
yeah.
are great schools in that state.
Mm-hmm.
Having visited a few of them, I can, mm-hmm. I'm willing to stand up for the Hawkeyes.
Isn't Drake there as well, David?
Yes, that Drake's in Des Moines.
Yeah, and they turn out a pretty good liberal arts brand. But that's the other side of this coin is that I said once upon a time that the pimply faced 15-year-old kid who wants to do radio doesn't have a radio station where he can go and learn to spin records or what, you know, punch up files or whatever the proper euphemism is for it now. To the extent that that kid doesn't have it, the other thing that obtains is that the kid who goes and gets the liberal arts education that will make a journalism education or a journalism career a more viable likelihood can't get a journalism job now because it's become pigeonholed. Oh, do you have a journalism degree? No, I've got a degree in art history, political science, philosophy, and English. Well, I'm sorry, you're not qualified.
Right.
Jean? If I can chime in here a minute.
Please do.
Well, I had no idea that posting that story was going to open this kind of debate. I guess it's good. I missed the opening rant, so I'm not sure about the Velcro bit. And I'm sorry that I missed the rant. I'm not sorry that I posted the story, because it was my feeling was, and I didn't get a chance to blog about this later because the stupid internet went down, is that, gee, we had all this week of nothing but Mr. Spitzer in footwork. And I was thinking, gee, you know, he's a prime example of the conservative lifestyle and how they, when they keep people down, let me rephrase that. I thought this was a victory for everybody around to get that, to see that ruling, because now, even from the conservative point of view, people wouldn't have to be confronted all the time. Now, remember, I'm talking from the conservative point of view. I don't mean this myself, but I mean, from their point of view, if they're married, then they're, you know, they're together. They're not people hanging out in the bathroom. They're not scaring the kids.
Yeah, I understand, Gene. The problem, though, is that... Oh, there went Kate. Yep. Just a minute. Oh, was that Gene? Kate, are you there?
I don't know. I'm here.
Okay, we lost everybody but you, David. I'm glad
well,
you hung on.
And I want everybody to pass the word around. I should have said that it was a pleasure meeting Kate before I launched off into what I had to say, but I'd heard her say her phone might give out. And it was, it's great to have a discussion, and I hope what I said came off as a discussion as opposed to something less than that.
Well, no, not to worry. I don't think that's particularly. We're all friends here, is what I'm saying.
Good.
So you know, not to worry. But no, I think this is fun when we have this kind of interchange and individual callers who hear each other all the time get a chance to go back and forth with one another, because that's, you know, I try not to make this about me. And this is the biggest manifestation of that. I hope the heck it's working.
Well, let me throw this out for Gene, knowing that he lives, I think, in a suburb of Portland. I think it might even be Hillsboro, where almost lifelong friends. If Lars Larson was going to pick out a newsreader, would it be somebody that would look at it and become critical and investigative? Would they really dig into it? Or would Lars just have somebody read what comes off the RNC wire for him? That's where that goes.
Yeah. And I think we know what the answer is.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't upstage Mr. I carry a pistol to work all the time.
Jesus. Oh, you know, I think if we'd let them, they'd carry a bazooka. Speaking of guns, David, I gotta throw this one your way if I can find it real quick. I'm sure you heard the story about the Senator Jim Inhofe, Senator Shelby, Congressman Bud Cramer, and who was the other senator that nearly got shot out of the air because Baghdad is a safe place and the surge is working?
Right. I love that aspect of it. Yeah, one of the ones that was being spoken to said, well, I had just taken off my flak jacket, and the next thing you know, my head's whacking off the window. They're taking evasive action. We were supposed to be out of that zone or some sort of a thing. Anyway, yeah.
Well, it turns out that I'm trying to find it here.
I do know in that group there were four guys in Congress. One of them was some variety, nominally, that was a Democrat.
Yeah, that was Bud Cramer. He's from Alabama's 5th District. He was actually my dad's congressman. But the other ones, though, you know, I'm a sick puppy, okay? I know it. Because the first thing I thought was, when I saw that story, the first thing I thought, David, was, you know, Abdul, you've got to lead a right-wing Republican a little bit.
And the first thing I thought was, come on, that's an investment. I'll give up one of ours to get three of theirs. Come on, let's fly them over again.
And you know, I mean, Abdul, you got to remember, when they break, they're always going to break to the right. Their first zig is always to the right.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that if I was on terrestrial radio and this was said, and I said this, the right wing would be having a blue screaming hissy. I don't want Jim Inhofe shot out of the air. I don't want Bud Cramer or Senator Shelby shot out of the air either. But you know what? I do want him to come home, David, and I want him to tell the damn truth about Georgia's surge.
Isn't it marvelous that some of these leaks, these longtime Pentagon people and defense people that are tired of seeing this top-down, you know, we've known for 2 weeks now that what, the White House was going to even write the report for Betrayus, General Betrayus, and then they're going to turn around and say, oh, no, it's his.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah, Gene's back with us.
Oh, hi, sorry about that. Hi, how's it going?
We're good.
David. Nothing. I'm sorry about that. Anyway, like I would say, I considered, you know, I was thinking, gee, you know, this whole thing with this crap and all this stuff, and I put that up there because, see, this, I have confession time. I've got a sister who's a lesbian, and she was married to a guy in Iowa, so I thought, gee, this is kind of great, and I put that up, and I she's not married to him now, but, you know, I was thinking, gee, this is great because, well, not, it was great on the standpoint from the liberal side of the sense that it's, you know, more pure being human, all that jazz, but on the other hand, it was great from the conservative side because, even from the conservative point of view, because when you think of the fundies and how they say all such a sin to do all this crap, and yet when they don't let people get married, they're expounding the sin because they're making people have to live a lie. And if people catch them outside doing it, then that's a problem for the kids. And they never, this is the thing, I really don't, conservatives and Christians in general, and conservative Christians in particular, they never think through the consequences of their freaking lifestyle and getting pissed me off.
well, as it should, Gene. They don't, but you know, you can argue that they don't think through the consequences of their acts. Then again, I think you can argue that they do too, because
they
know what they want to accomplish. They mean for this stuff that they're doing to happen. They want to know what's going on in our bedrooms.
Yeah, that's true, and I admit that. But I mean, it's like, gee. If they're really so damn concerned about, and I guess this is more a rant on the Christian conservatives than anybody else, if they're really so damn concerned about all this sin crap, then shouldn't they start looking at their own, making other people sin more?
No, they're not going to do that, Gene, because the whole nature of their racket is to say that it's somebody else's fault and somebody else's problem. I've got a stack of stories here of right-wing hissies that are going on in this country right now that I haven't even been able to get to, and every one of them has something in common. And what's in common there is that each one of them is a story of a failing of a fundamentalist who in turn wants to take whatever the problem is away from all of us, as opposed to correct their own miserable lives.
Well, the next time I see that, I guess I'll just kind of, I'll think twice before I put it up. But I.
Oh no! There was no problem putting the story up. No, that was great. It's a valid news story. But what happened was that it turned into not necessarily. I mean, we all know how the response is going to play out in Iowa. The fundamentalists are going to come out, and the marriage advocates are going to come out, and they're yada yada yada, and they're going to picket in the streets, and they're going to march, and it's going to motivate the right wing base to come to the polls when they might have stayed the hell home, and that's how that's going to play out. The story for me, though, was what I found when I started trying to get just a little bit of information about how state government's organized in Iowa, just as a sort of a sidelight, a little bit of sidebar information. That's when I found out how dumbed down the news process is, at least in Des Moines.
Geez, the way it sounded, I thought somebody sent that article and you were getting calls from all kinds of people.
Oh, no. No, I was the one making the calls.
Okay, sorry about that.
No trouble.
My apologies, dull Republican here.
No sweat, Gene. No sweat at all, my friend.
Okay, well, I'll keep posting. I know what you mean, because I guess the one guy squeaked through in the... you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. The one couple squeaked through, and then they shut the whole thing back down again. And I just... I get so, and you're right, we need to get rid of the war, we need to get rid of all the impeach these guys so we can solve all these other problems. Excuse me.
We need a little sense of focus. We just need a little sense of focus.
You're right. You're absolutely right. I'll go rant now. scream now. I'll see you later.
Go scream at the speakers, Gene.
All right.
We all do.
Yeah.
Later.
I will.
Bye now. And, David, I've been asked to make sure that there is a reminder out there. Next week's Thursday night special over at shearsmusic.com is authored by you.
Oh, my gracious. So that's a week from last night?
That's my understanding. I'm sure Billy will correct me if I'm wrong. But, yeah, next, the Thursday night special.
How does that work? Does he read it?
No. It's what you wrote is posted, and the song is there, available for people to hear.
Oh, okay.
BillyShearsMusic.com.
So if they read it or they listen, then the mistake is theirs. They're not being forced.
Yeah. Right.
All right. You've all been warned.
Well, yeah. And this is as different a song as has ever appeared on Billy's site. It's not very often that one gets a good dose of hardcore speed punk.
This is, what you're speaking of is prototypical West Coast hardcore music done by a band that has fans around the world. In their own area, for their own fan base, they are as legitimate as anything going. So if you don't like it, then you wouldn't like the genre, and I understand that.
But it's something that you had some association with, and the story itself, when I saw it, I had to pass it on to Billy because it was just strong medicine, and I'm not going to give away the gravamen of the whole piece, but I think that should be at least a little tease. Yes, Agnes?
Yes, we do have a correction. It'll be posted Sunday night. It'll be up all week at BillyShears.com.
Is it Billy Shears Music, Shears Music, or BillyShears.com? Got to have some help here.
It is BillyShearsMusic.com. Hold on.
Okay, we're going to find this out once and for all, David. But you had some experience. I mean, you're not just a fan of this band, right?
Oh no. I had been aware of that band in Portland, Oregon, for several years because they were a mainstay, and nobody could figure out that had any interest in that sort of music why they hadn't transcended and become the next Black Flag, become the next DOA, become the next DRI, become the the second go-round for an American band that rivaled the Sex Pistols or almost anything else in the punk movement. And they were not a really very well-organized outfit, and through a funny chain of events, I'll shorten the story, I became their manager for 4 years. And I was 20 years older than the band, at least 10, the oldest member. We were about 10 or 12 years apart. So anyway, at every show, I was the oldest guy in the room, and a dozen times, if not more, I had somebody come up and say, which one of these losers is your kid that you're trying to watch out after? And I said, none of them. Sometimes I would have to convince people I was having a good time. But anyway, no, it was one of the most enjoyable, enlivening. It was a complete recharge of my batteries to be that close to creativity that was that vigorous, that highly charged, and to see the shows, anyway, it was a great experience. It was four of the best years of my life, and I wouldn't have traded it for anything.
Well, I hope this is a sufficient tease to get people to go and look starting Sunday, because it's the lyrics are reprinted, the song is there to be heard, and I think people are going to be pleasantly surprised to find the subject matter that was dealt with in the song coming out of that particular genre.
It was a very interesting time, and I won't give any of it away, but the whole experience for me was everything was compressed into a very small time cycle. Everything was amplified in terms of how it hit us, how it hit the audience, how the world, reacted. Everything was amplified, and everything came very quickly. And if you weren't paying attention, you could be blindsided in a heartbeat. And it was really, it was life. It was everything that was in life, amplified and quickened. So it was a great time. I'm very proud that they let me be part of it. And I should say it that way. They let me be part of it.
Right. Well, David, thanks so much, man. I've really enjoyed all the conversation tonight. We've taken it all over the place, and if that doesn't tickle people to go and have a look starting Sunday, I don't know what will.
Well, it's fun. I enjoy that sort of thing when it's an appropriate outlet and it's a legitimate spot to say something like that. And certainly, what Billy's doing, he's got the good. He's for real.
Oh yeah. It would be improper for me not to mention at this point in time and urge people. Saturday nights at 9 p.m. On the Horn, 9 p.m. Eastern, has become a very, very special time. This is Night Sounds Volume 7. This is the seventh Night Sounds show that Billy has produced. And I've become quite the devotee of being behind the board and just sitting there and producing, watching it go. Some great music, great commentary. And the crowd that comes into the chat room during that show is quite a hoot, too. So anybody who hasn't checked out Billy Shear's Night Sounds Saturday nights at 9 Eastern on the Horn has really missed out on something. And I hope if they haven't, that they'll be there this time around. David, take care and have a wonderful Labor Day weekend.
I shall. You too.
All right. Bye now.
Thanks, Bob. Bye.
Bye. Make a point. Make a point of being there this Saturday evening, 9 p.m. Eastern for Night Sounds. Yes, Agnes?
Actually, it's Tune In to Night Sounds, Saturday night at 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time, for new music, sounds of the 80s, one-hit wonders, dedications, and something new, a smooth jazz segment.
Well, I was ad-libbing, dear.
I'm reading verbatim from Billy.
You do that,
dear. Nah, so at least, you know, mine's correct.
Yeah, okay, well, I wasn't exactly wrong. It's at 9 o'clock Saturday night. Goes to midnight. Gets repeated on the stream.
And send dedications.
Yeah, and yeah, if you've got dedications, Billy takes dedications, too. But I'm going to make you listen to the show to get the email address where you can send your dedications in. Yeah. Let's talk to Preston, calling from Denver. Hey, Preston, welcome to the program. Oh.
Sorry about that.
Are you there, Preston?
Hey, Bob.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm okay. The night's kind of flying along here.
Yeah. Well, I was just telling Agnes that I was happy to have a long weekend coming here.
We're going to have a long weekend too. I was asked about that earlier today. We're not. Thanks for opening the door on that one, Preston. We're not going to have any live programming Monday. But we're going to take the holiday too.
Enjoy the rest and relaxation. Also, I was wondering, Gene was speaking about an article he'd posted.
Uh huh.
Did he post that to, is it your message board or a blog?
No, it's the blog at headonradionetwork.com.
Okay.
It was the story of, the story of the Iowa gay marriage court ruling.
Okay. I haven't caught up with a lot of the blogs, but I'll have to check that out.
I've been slow to really get into the blogging thing, too. I've found a few that I really like. I like Welcome to Pottersville. And I also like the Maha blog that we discussed a couple of nights ago. I had a very nice email exchange with the author of the Maha blog. And I've gone back a couple of times, and the writing there continues to be well above average, as is the readership. So it makes it a real joy to